Welcome to Ask the Pastor. The question today is, what does it mean to walk with God? We know that we find in the book of Genesis chapter 5 where we read about Enoch. The Bible says about him that he, let me just turn over there and read that to you, and that'll be the best place to start with here. Genesis chapter 5, verse number 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. For God took him. Now, there's only two men in the Bible that use the phrase about that he walked with God. Enoch in our text and Noah in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. So Noah and Enoch's the only two that actually uses that phrase in our English King James Bible that he walked with God. Now, I'm sure there's others who did so, but only these two. In other words, the scripture is talking about here. In other words, as we think about them, they're the only two that are thinking about. Well, what does the word walk mean? The walk with God. The word walk means to live. It means to regulate one's life. And in other words, it means to conduct oneself, to order one's behavior. The New Testament word talks about, uses the word conversation in the King James Bible, which actually means your walk with the Lord and the manner of living, in other words. Now, what does it mean to walk with God? Now, to walk with God implies that there has to be reconciliation. The Bible said in Amos 3:3, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You realize something, man, to walking together means agreement and harmony, but man in his natural self was made in the likeness of Adam. Now, I know Adam was made in the likeness of God. I understand that, but he sinned and passed on that sin to every man, and we're made in the likeness of Adam. Enoch was also made in the likeness of Adam. That means he was depraved, and he was born with enmity or hostility toward God. He's like Ephesians 2 says about the saints at Ephesus, that what they were before they were saved. In other words, he says there, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. So Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 makes it plain that the unsaved order their behavior and regulate their lives within a circle or a sphere of trespasses and sin, the world, and the Satan, and the flesh. But not so with the one who's been reconciled. He walks with God. And that's why Enoch, we know Enoch was reconciled. He was made one again, to make friendly again. Therefore, for Enoch to walk with God, he had to be reconciled to God. The enmity was slain in his life in that sense. And God did not conform to him, but he conformed to God. And it was all the work of God that did that. So to walk with God, there must be reconciliation, making friendly again, broken in Adam, but put back in the second, the last Adam, I guess we should say. But also, walking with God implies that you have a new nature. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. He begins to walk with God. Light has no communion with darkness. God is light, and lost man is not only in darkness, but he is darkness. No sinner can walk with God, for he has nothing in common with him. Sin separates you from God. The day that Adam sinned, and he fled from God and hid among the trees of the garden. For Enoch to walk with God, it implies the putting away of sin and having imparted to him a new nature, saved by the grace of God. It also implies having a moral fitness, walking with God, having reconciliation. It means to also have a new nature and implies a moral fitness. God does not walk out of the way of holiness. Before God would walk through Israel's camp, everything which was defiled had to be put away. Before Christ begins his millennial reign, all things that offend must be gathered out of his kingdom. Holy God keeps no company with the unclean. Bible says this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So walking with God means that we cease taking our own way, that we abandon the world's way, and that we follow the divine way. So it implies a moral fitness, the holy way. It also implies a surrendered will. God does not force his company upon any. Bible says again in Amos 3:3, how can two walk together except they be agreed? The supreme example and illustration is the Lord Jesus Christ. None enjoyed such perfect and intimate communion with the Father as he did. And what was the secret of it all? Psalm 40, verse number 8, which is a messianic psalm there. I know it's got a contextual application, but it's messianic, future prophecy. He said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. This explains the secret. If we would walk with the Lord, there must be a willingness and readiness on our part to do his will. And the only way that can ever be is if God has reconciled you and brought you to the place, broken your old will and planted something inside of you, gave you a new heart and helped you to come his way, walking with God. Matthew 11:29, he said, take my yoke up on you, in other words, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. Take my yoke up on you. Now, he does not force it on you. You take it, but he enables you to. And you do it because you want to, because Jesus told every person who's ever saved, or when they come to the point that they could have been saved had they moved God's way, follow me, he said. Follow me. And so therefore, we see walking with God implies some things. It implies also spiritual communion. Again, Amos 3:3 said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? The word walk there suggests a steady progress. It has been said that Enoch did not just go down the road a short way and make a couple of turns with God and then leave his company, but he walked with God over 300 years. It was not a run, wasn't a leap, wasn't a sprint, I guess you could say, or spurt, but a walk, a steady walk, like every other descendant of Adam. In other words, Enoch was by nature a child of wrath, alienated from the life of God. But the day came when he was reconciled to God. Now, what caused this reconciliation? Well, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5, he said, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. In other words, how did he please God? Well, that's the he pleased God. He said he had a testimony of that. Verse number 6 says this in Hebrews chapter 11, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God on that path of understanding, as God's given you the understanding, not yet to him, but you must believe that he is to do that. You've got to have an intellectual faith that God is, that he exists. And then it'll cause you to move toward God and seek him. And you'll find out that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So how did he please God? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Therefore, it had to be by faith in the Old Testament time. You see, Enoch was reconciled by faith. He was saved by faith, just like you and I are. And we need to understand that. So walking with God implies reconciliation. Walking with God implies a new nature. Walking with God implies a moral fitness. Walking with God implies a surrendered will. Walking with God implies a spiritual communion. And then we need to learn more about walking with God, because you want to know what does it mean to walk with God. We learn more about walking with God when we think about the results of Enoch's walk. First of all, it was a growth in grace. Walking implies a progress in a forward direction. 1 Peter chapter 5, Second Peter chapter 1, verse 5, and through verse 7, he said there, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Seven things mentioned there, which is a number of perfection. But it means something that you reach toward that, and you add to the foundation of faith in your soul by faith, of course, and not be chintzy with it, but you add those things there. And like everyone else, you realize that he had to have that growth. He had to have that. He had to have that implies that progress. A growth upon the foundation of faith. But also, walking with God, it was the result of it was the growth in the knowledge of the Lord. 2 Peter 1:8, he said, "For if these things," and that's the seven things mentioned in 2 Peter 1:5-7, "if these things be in you and abound, overflow, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, and once you begin to walk with God and add to the foundation of faith and the inner man being renewed day by day, there's the growth in the knowledge of the Lord, and that'll give you a larger capacity to enjoy God. It'll cause one to be more conscious of his own helplessness, and he feel more and more his need of absolute dependency on God. This resulted, of course, in a deep, settled joy and peace. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9 also said, "But he that lacketh these things," those seven things of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, those seven things mentioned there, you go back and look at them. If you lack those things, you're blind. It means you take in the short look. You're not taking the long look. You need to take the long look. Or you're closing your eyes to it and just don't want to see it. That's what a lot of people are doing today. But he said, "But they'll also make you that you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you lack those things," verse 9 says, "you have forgotten," he come to the place that he had forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. I don't mean you lose your salvation. It don't mean you will totally forget about the day you got saved. You'll never forget that. But it means it's not on the forefront of your mind if you don't add to the foundation of faith those seven things, because you're not having the inner man renewed day by day, and you have a tendency not to be on the front of your mind. And it causes you to do things that you wouldn't do otherwise, you see. And so therefore, you don't have that deep, settled joy and peace inside. And even to let it slip for a while, like Peter did when he went and warmed by the fire. He was so busy, afraid he's going to die, I guess it is what it amounted to. But still, when he was inside the court, he talked to those men who were the enemies of God inside that the Sanhedrin there, where it's before Caiaphas, Jesus was. But he warmed by the fire, and Jesus already told him, "You're going to deny me three times." But Peter said, "Oh, not me, Lord. I'll die with you if you die." But he did deny him three times, did he not? Why? Because he had forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. How long? Probably just a few hours. You don't forget it for years. Man says, "Well, I lived in sin for years." You wasn't saved if you did that, because God says a saved man don't do that. But Peter, in other words, walk with God, and come back to the place to where he began to walk with God. Well, the time's gone. I'll finish it tomorrow, the Lord willing. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you. Until we meet again on the air or in the air, may the Lord bless us, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.